Welcome back into the show. It's time for the Lunch Rush, where we take a look at the top stories trending nationally in the world of sports. And, man, this one hit yesterday. I didn't get to it, but the NBA trades are always the craziest to me. There's, like, so many players involved, so many picks involved. But this one's got a lot of meat to it. The Houston Rockets are acquiring center Derek Favors and a 2025 second-round draft pick in an eight-player trade with the Oklahoma City Thunder, sources told ESPN on Thursday night. So the Thunder are going to get two draft exceptions and save $1 million in salary in a deal that sends Favors, guards Ty Jerome, Theo Maledon, and forward Mo Harkless to the Rockets for Sterling Brown, Trey Burke, David Waba, Marquise Chris. The Thunder are sending a 2025 second-round pick acquired this week in another trade with the Hawks. So now with the Thunder just trying to clear some cap space, the Thunder that deal drops the Thunder approximately $10 million under the luxury tax threshold. After the trade, both the Thunder and Rockets have 18 guaranteed contracts on their respective rosters, and we'll need to pare them down to 15 by October 17th. Wacky trades. And NBA is known for those trades. It reminds me of one of Brian Gary's bets that he does. Those 19-game spider bets is what he calls those parlays. Joel Embiid is an American citizen. Embiid said Thursday he was sworn in as a citizen 2 weeks ago in Philadelphia. So he's pumped about that. He's happy. He has a He and his Brazilian girlfriend have a two-year-old son, and that played a pivotal role in the decision. He said, "I've been here for a long time," Embiid told the Associated Press. "My son is American. I felt like I'm living here, and it's a blessing to be an American. So I said, why not?" Embiid, 28, graduated from a Florida high school and played a season in college at Kansas, before the 76ers drafted him number 3 overall. There's a nice positive story there for Joel Embiid that's just grateful for being in this wonderful country of ours. The pitch clock has cut minor league games by 25 minutes to 2 hours and 38 minutes. Use of pitch clocks. We got that from ESPN this morning. They've cut the games by 25 minutes this year. A reduction that Major League Baseball really hopes is replicated when the devices are installed in the big leagues next season. And I haven't wrapped my brain around it. You know, I love the idea. Speed it up. I get so annoyed seeing pitchers take 80 years to throw a ball, or the batters adjusting their gloves 465 times. But I'm still a little concerned about this, Angel. Like, how they're going to rule this thing. Like, I'm going through the rules and how this is supposed to be. That once the clock starts, you know, the batter's got to be in the box. But what if, you know, he gets out or a pitcher throws to first? Like, does it reset? And if you're a pitcher and you just want to take more time, do you just throw to first? You get so many, I guess, per inning or something like that. But I just think they're going to have a hard time regulating this thing. And that's the Lunch Rush there. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. It's crazy, man. Angel, I don't know if you're kind of a baseball fan, right? I mean, I've thought for years we got to do something about a pitch count. I mean, there's times where, you know, you go, it feels like a minute or two before the next hit or the next swing of the bat. And so I agree. I want to see it changed, but I just think governing this and trying to referee or officiate this is going to be a difficult task.
Certainly, and you're going to have to find ways to not incentivize players, but remind players that, hey, you are on a pitch clock. Hey, don't step out of the batter's box and adjust your gloves and kick the dirt off your cleats and all that. I'm interested to see, you know, we'll have to wait a while to see the results of this, but what are the results about pitchers in their arms? Like, how are they managing that kind of stress if they're throwing the ball a lot quicker and not giving themselves that amount of time that they're used to?
Well, what's that guy, the Dodgers guy? I can't think of his name right now, the pitcher for the Dodgers, that he has that old traditional, old school style where he looks down, stares down the batter, he holds his right arm out to his side like an upside down L and just stares down the batter. I mean, he takes a while. How about the Padres pitcher that does like the 45 different little skips, little hip thrusts there before he pitches. Like all those things that they do for timing and to set him up, they're going to have to change a little bit of that, I would imagine. Change things up from the way they've done them for the past however many years. It's crazy.
Yeah, and I mean, this is a step in the direction of speeding up the game of baseball. We talk about all the changes we've seen. We had the robot catchers giving out plays to the pitcher on the mound, getting rid of the making bigger bases, getting rid of shifts, all these kind of different changes to make baseball a more entertaining game, not just to go, you know, see at a stadium, but to sit at home and be able to watch a baseball game and not, you know, oh, I got to sit on the couch for 4 hours to see the result of this game.
Yeah, no doubt, man. It's going to be interesting to see just how they regulate it. I think it was something needed, but it, time will tell if they can make this thing work. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043 is the First Advantage text line. Josh McDaniels getting set to take on his old team in the Denver Broncos. And Clark's just hooking us up, man. He's bringing food in. Looking back to Josh McDaniels since that time when he went 6-0, when he went 6-0 with Denver, since then as a head coach, 5-20. 5-20, man. I mean, he has been through just a bad, bad time as a head coach. And, you know, he went and hid away back as an offensive coordinator. Josh McDaniels has such a checkered past, too. I mean, when he was the coach for the Broncos, there was a lot of stuff that was going on. You know, the way he reportedly handled players and pushed them to the limit. I mean, he was kind of just known as not a very nice guy to these people. I mean, there was a lot of crazy things that happened while he was the coach for the Raiders, and that's why I think, you know, you want to see a rivalry renewed, Eastside Chris, one of our texters. Look no further than Josh McDaniels. I mean, he's one of the most hated characters in all of Broncos history, maybe the most. You know, I mean, there was weird stuff that happened. There was the video scandal. You remember the Kansas City Chiefs coach at the time caught Josh McDaniels in the middle of the 50-yard line when they went to go shake hands, and instead the coach just pointed at him like every, and he said, "Everybody knows what you're doing now, right, man? We know what you're up to. The league is hip to what you're doing, man." So we wondered what that was about. So there was a video scandal. There was a player suicide, of course, and then the 5-17 run after his 6-0 start. He's trying to figure it out. Here's my fear. You got a lot of guys on the Raiders roster right now that, and McDaniels too, that you're thinking, okay, these are talented people. Josh McDaniels, love him or hate him, he's talented. He knows football. You don't get to his level without knowing football. Davante Adams, after that first week, he's been kind of quiet. They haven't got him, they haven't utilized him as much. Then you look at Chandler Jones. I mean, he has not had a sack yet since the Raiders gave him all this money. So, you know, Jones has 16 and a half sacks over Wilson. That's the second most for any player against a single quarterback since 2000. But he hasn't done one yet, and he's being paid signed a 3-year deal, $51 million contract with the Raiders. How about Davante Adams? I mean, that's another big one. Angel just texting in. Broncos 0-6 in the previous road matchups versus the Raiders. Yeah, I mean, the Broncos haven't been, you know, obviously they haven't been great over the years, but they've certainly struggled on the road. And the Raiders, I mean, they haven't controlled this division at all. And certainly the Raiders, that's one of those teams that that's at the beginning of the season, I think we all said, watch out. There's not a bad team in this AFC West. Davante Adams, Nathaniel Hackett, of course, have a history. They spent 3 years together in Green Bay. And Adams, you wonder, is this the game that he gets it going around? I mean, why haven't they used him? He had 10 passes for 141 yards in the opener. Since then, he just has 7 catches for 48 yards in the last 2 weeks. So what's going on there? That's my fear with this game coming up, is I feel like you have a lot of things on the cusp. A lot of things about to get really good for the Raiders. You just hope, let's push it out one more week. Let's see if the Broncos can somehow delay the Raiders from from getting into a surge, because I do think it's going to happen. I don't know if the Raiders will make history and go 0-4. Let's hope they do. And then be one of the only teams, not very many. I think Angel was saying like the Chargers in the early 90s were one of the teams that was 0-4, made it to the playoffs. Let's hope that, you know, let's hope they don't start getting that surge this weekend. But I wouldn't put it past this Raiders team to go 0-4 and start bouncing back and making it at least interesting down the stretch. But it's going to be a battle. You know, again, you know that it's going to be an emphasis for the Raiders to say, hey, we got to find ways to go back to that game plan of where Derek Carr and Davante Adams were connecting. You know, they probably win that game if Derek Carr does that game against the Chargers, that first game of the season, if Derek Carr doesn't throw three interceptions. So a lot of those things that just kind of scare me about this Raiders team. But I guess if you're a Raiders fan, you could be saying the exact same thing about the Broncos. Is, oh, well, Russell Wilson hasn't been Russell Wilson just yet. He hasn't been cooking just yet. This defense is really good, and they can keep you in games. But what happens if the Broncos offense starts to click? So I think it was Dixon or one of our texters earlier in the week that said, this game kind of feels like not necessarily a get-right game, but where something is going to break loose that was supposed to 3 weeks ago. You know, it was the Raiders offense was supposed to be much better than they were supposed to be. The offensive line was supposed to be much better. We haven't seen that all click for them. Same with the Broncos. They've had some good moments. Again, I loved the game plan against Seattle. The decision making was terrible for Nathaniel Hackett. Houston, it was not as great of a game plan, but still okay. Again, decision making terrible. Then you go to the last game against the Niners. Decision making was fine. It seemed like Nathaniel Hackett kind of made all the right calls that, you know, that are obvious to us sitting on our couch six beers deep. But I still just don't know who it's going to be. And we got my picks coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. Who's it going to be that's finally going to break through and get everything right? We'll find out. 17 minutes after the hour, we're live from Canvas Stadium. We've got the Canvas Community Classic, our coverage presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza. We got two football games coming up. We got Poudre, we got Rocky Mountain, we got Fort Collins, we got Fossil Ridge going at it this afternoon. We're going to have both of those games on KFKA for you. Football night in Northern Colorado begins at 3 o'clock with Kyle Johnson, so we can't wait to get that one going. It's going to be great. All right, we're going to take a short break. Again, live from Canvas Stadium. It's beautiful here. People aren't filling in yet. It'll probably be a couple of hours, but I am seeing, like, you're seeing people from the schools probably bring stuff in, get things going. It's a fun environment out here. We're going to take a short break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hear the latest on your local football teams during your drive to work with Good Morning NoCo on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Katie Wingy, your host, reporter, and analyst for the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back in to the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from Canvas Stadium today. Got the Canvas Community Classic coming up a little bit later on, a few hours away now. We're in the countdown mode here. So I'm ready to get to that. I heard drumming and I'm like, what is happening? We're getting the game going early, Angel. Susan and Cheryl are pumped. They might come out for this tonight. I don't know. They don't. Friday night's kind of their night, but we'll see what they end up doing. They might come out. We'll see. Angel, how you doing, man? You hanging in there okay? I know Tua's your guy, and it was scary for everybody, man. But you recovering a little bit?
Yeah, you know, it's, you have a favorite player, you see him go down. It's football. These injuries happen. I was kind of just numb watching the rest of that game. You know, trying to just find some positives, scouring through Twitter. Still on Twitter today. Mike McDaniel just finishing up his press conference. Still good news on that front, talking just about his seriousness in terms of, you know, player health and safety, adamant that they follow all the protocols correctly as they're given. He said there's no timetable right now for Tua's return. He's more worried about the player himself. But as of right now, Teddy Bridgewater is set to start Week 5 against the Jets next Sunday.
Welcome to our hell, Angel, with Teddy Bridgewater, man. I mean, you guys know me. Teddy's a great guy. Everything you hear, he's a good leader and stuff. But, with that high power of offense, I guess checkdowns might be kind of okay in that offense if you have a Tyreek Hill that can take a checkdown.
Well, we saw he can hit Tyreek Hill downfield if he needs to. We saw that last night with a nice 64-yard pass there from Teddy.
It was a deep pass, but I mean, Tyreek makes a hell of a play on that. There were kind of two guys around Tyreek, so I was kind of shocked. You know, again, he threw it down there. Teddy can throw the ball down there. Most quarterbacks in the league can toss it down there, but I still think Tyreek just makes a catch that most receivers are not going to make.
Sure, and you know, last 2 weeks we've seen Teddy had the jump in for the Dolphins and really not get a lot of time to warm up. He's just sitting on the bench, just you know, watching film, whatever. Get up, suddenly you have to go play and finish out a game like last night. Now he'll get, you know, the full week of practice with the starters, assuming that everything is not okay with Tua and he can't play or he's still in the concussion protocol. I think a week with the starting reps for Teddy could benefit him against a team that's not very good in the Jets.
Yeah, at least you're getting the Jets coming up, and we'll see what the Jets are really about, you know, this weekend. But I got to say, Mike McDaniel, you know, I don't sit and stare at a lot of Dolphins games throughout the season, but sitting down watching that game last night, he is very innovative with his play calling. In fact, I thought when Tua was in there, you know, even though they drove down the first time with ease, they settle for a field goal. I think the next offensive possession, Tua throws an interception. But I still felt like that offense, when everything's rolling, like I kind of felt like it was getting to, they're going to be very tough to beat, assuming you get Tua back sooner rather than later. But Mike McDaniel, you know, he doesn't blink. He, you know, there's no decision, no pause in his decision making. I mean, to me, it's obvious right now, and I hope this changes. And who knows? Mike McDaniel of the new hires of the new coaches in the league, he's running circles around Nathaniel Hackett right now. If you just want to compare the bodies of work,
sure. You know, they talked about it a lot last night on the broadcast about just how McDaniel doesn't really fit the typical coaching, you know, mold. If you saw just the little clip up they did of him, he's from Greeley, Colorado, which is really cool. Used to go to Broncos practices as a kid, and they ran through his whole career. He started as an intern with Shanahan in Denver. He kind of followed his son Kyle through a bunch of different places, and he's kind of just been stashed away by Kyle Shanahan for a long time until he was the OC in San Francisco last year. And you kind of see that his impact on the running game specifically, you know, San Francisco's been top 10, top 5 in the rushing attack the last few years. And that's because of Mike McDaniel, the way he schemes plays. He schemes players open, using motion before the snap, just gets defenses out of position. He's one of the bright, young offensive minds in this league right now.
Yeah, and we'll see. I mean, we, you know, I remember, and I'm not comparing the two, but this is, again, why you have to, you take every single week, you know, as it is. You can get excited, you can get sad, whatever, but I'll never forget, dude, and this is just for caution. When Chip Kelly took over for, was it Philadelphia, was his first, his NFL shot, he came and coached the Philadelphia Eagles. I'll never forget. They're up like 21-0 at the half against Washington. And Adam Schefter tweeted, and this was, what, 10 years ago? Adam Schefter tweeted out, "Ladies and gentlemen, the new NFL." Chip went on to lose that game and then lose his job like a year and a half later. So you want to be innovative, and I think he has that. But as teams start to put your stuff on film and figuring out, you know, your motions and what you are doing to get defenses out of position, that's when a great offensive coach has to readjust. You still don't lose the core of who you are, and as you're building your blueprint for your offense, but the more tape you put out there, the easier it then gets. So this is what I always caution with new coaches, whether that's Nathaniel Hackett or Mike McDaniel or whoever, is can you do it again and then again and then again and then again? And guys like Chip Kelly, they were innovators until they weren't, and defenses put that stuff on film. And you start to figure these guys out. So right now, I was really impressed with it. No question about it. He's fun. I think his game plans are fun. I think they're entertaining. But I do, that's where I look to see, because I wasn't all in on Miami yet. Even last night, I just picked him to beat Cincinnati. And again, I get something unique happens to me. Tua goes down early, or in the first half. The Chargers loss that I suffered was a backdoor and very the most unnecessary backdoor. There's no reason Herbie Hancock should have been in there. He had broken ribs or cartilage or whatever. He's in there to go get a meaningless seven point score to ruin the spread. And so right now, my Thursday night specials are all the two of them that I've lost, very suspect. But you know, the point is you do have these innovators of coaches, and I think that that's where the NFL continues to trend. We want to get guys that think outside the box. But can they, once they've done so much thinking outside the box, can they at times, stick with me now, think back inside the box? Because you can't, you know, you don't want to be John Fox anymore. We don't want Vic Fangio. We don't want guys that, you know, want to run programs like they used to in the 70s and 80s. But there has to be a little mix of that as you go. You know, and the analytics will tell you to do this or whatever. So we'll just see. Like with these young coaches, I'm very curious to see how it all works out. 30 minutes after the hour. Let's jump out real quick, Angel, and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Four minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Welcome back into The Whole Show. We're live in Fort Collins today from Canvas Stadium, a first for me. We're doing the show here. We had Clark and the coach out here earlier, and we'll bring it into football night in Northern Colorado starting at 3 o'clock with Kyle Johnson. And then our doubleheader of game coverage. Again, coverage presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza, Pooter and Rocky Mountain, Fort Collins and Fossil Ridge. 4:30 is when the first game gets going. And then around 7:30-ish is when we'll have that second one. Both games will be right here on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. It's you know, we got Football Friday coming up at 1 o'clock. My picks are at the end of the show. And you know, last week, Angel, I told you I was 5-10 going into the weekend. I needed to have a monster weekend of picks to pull myself out of the hole that I dug. Well, I did. I ended up going. I went 5-1 over the weekend. I took UNC to beat Idaho State. I didn't know if there was a spread there. Whatever. I took UCLA to cover the 21.5 over CU. I took Wyoming to cover 21.5 against BYU. They covered that. I took Air Force to cover 24 against Nevada, and then I took Denver to win. So my only loss was actually. Was the game here, right here, against Sac State for Colorado State. So a bummer there for the weekend. But we got all my picks loaded up, ready to go. No CSU game to pick from this weekend, but you do have local games. UNC at Idaho, Air Force and Navy, Wyoming and San Jose State, CU at Arizona, and then Denver at Las Vegas. Man. Storylines, if you're just kind of looking and digging through the storylines for each of these games, you know, I look at UNC and Idaho and I say this is an opportunity for the Bears. For so many years now, you know, any kind of small positive that you got about UNC, a positive feeling that you saw, usually went away the following week because they get blown out or whatever. Maybe they won two in a row, but then they lose the next six or something along those lines. This is an opportunity for the Bears, Coach McCaffrey, and everybody to really send that message that, hey, we are turning things around here in Greeley. We are going to make the best of this situation. But Idaho is a good team. So that's going to be an absolute battle for UNC to go on the road and try to beat Idaho. But still, that's kind of the story when I look at this. I'm like, UNC, what are you right now? You know, you lost to Houston Baptist this year. You beat Lamar, but then, you know, you beat Idaho State, and you beat them badly, too. That's the other thing. That's why I say it's a significant win. You beat them badly on a game that you were supposed to win, but you just absolutely left zero doubt, and you win on your, you know, on your homecoming. When you look forward to Air Force Navy, obviously Air Force Navy, that is a storyline in and of itself, but how will Air Force respond after we saw the sanctions and the probations and all that. I did hear yesterday, Angel, that they said, you know, if Air Force does make a bowl game, if they qualify for a bowl game, they would be able to play in it and all that stuff. So I don't know. What is the probation then? Like, what are they – is it fines and stuff? Like, what are they actually – what is the punishment here?
So the punishment will include some kind of fine for the program, but they will also be losing the ability to have visits. They will lose some scholarships and just some of the recruiting stuff. That's where these violations happen. So you may not – like the bowl game suspension probably wouldn't have happened, but anything involved with recruiting, there's going to be some kind of regulations and fines put in place for them there.
That's interesting. I mean, and that's going to hurt you, you know, in this competitive market now. That is college football. Not being able to recruit effectively 100% the way you're supposed to is going to hurt this team. We'll see, you know, how that impacts Air Force down the road. However, they still have an opportunity to put together one heck of a season. They're 3-1 on the year. They got the one loss to Wyoming, which was a shocker, but now I don't know if that's looking like such a shocker because Wyoming's turning out a pretty good season. So the storyline there is how does it affect them? You know, Troy Calhoun, all reports are indicating that Troy Calhoun had nothing to do with any of this stuff, but I don't know. It just seems weird to me. You cheat to get ahead. You cheat to advance and advance yourself, you know, whether that's yourself or your team or whatever. If you got a bunch of assistants, are they cheating so that they can say, hey, I'm the one responsible for bringing this recruit in, so you want to hire me? So I can see why, you know, they would go, I want to be the guy that got this kid to come over. I met with him when I wasn't supposed to, though. But still, other teams will look at me and go, man, how did that guy do it? You know, I look at, and again, a guy that does things the right way is CSU basketball assistant coach Ali Farokmanesh. Every player you talk to, including first-round draft pick David Roddy, they love Nico Medved. And again, that guy's a genius. That guy's amazing. But they always kind of, a lot of these guys do come back and say, Ali Farokmanesh's ability to recruit and the way he talked to me and all that stuff, that's what I love. And so, again, when you're thinking of him going to the next level or going somewhere else or being a head coach, which is probably going to happen very soon, then they're going to look back at that and go, man, Ali Farokmanesh was the guy that convinced David Roddy to come here, or he was the guy that got Isaiah Stevens here, blah, 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 blah. So, you know, yesterday to my own point of like, why would you cheat like this if the head coach had nothing to do with it? Well, if you become the guy that convinced little Billy to come over and play football for you, then that's your claim to fame. And, you know, unfortunately, these guys were cheating to try to do that. They were meeting with players, you know, those four assistants or whatever were meeting with players when they weren't supposed to. And so I can actually, Angel, I can see 100% why Troy Calhoun would not, you know any of this stuff.
Sure, you know, as you said, they were former assistant coaches that were doing this, and this was during the COVID-19 dead period. So at a time where there wasn't really a lot of answers in terms of college football, just flashing back to that time where, you know, we're still kind of figuring out if we're going to have a season, are we going to be able to play games, are we going to be able to get, you know, fans in the stands, all that's going on. Meanwhile, you have coaches are trying to go, you know, go get ahead, like you said, try to be the guy that, oh, I got this awesome recruit to come to school here. And, you know, whether or not it's, you know, thinking that, oh, I'm not going to get caught, you're going to get caught. The NCAA does these investigations for a reason. They have these dead periods for a reason so that you cannot do this stuff.
No question. I mean, and that's what's frustrating is, you know, at the end of the day, we always say the same thing when we hear stories like this. We always say, oh, it's happening everywhere. And maybe it is. But if you get caught and found out, then clearly you're doing it in such an obvious way. I don't know nowadays, though. I mean, I still think cheating is continuing to happen. No question. Obviously, Air Force was. I just feel like more and more teams are looking at it going, you're going to get found out. Unless the amount of schools that is actually cheating is like 90%. We've only discovered 5% of the ones that are doing, which could very well be the case. You know, if you talk to Tad Boyle, I mean, he won't give you any names, but he'll tell you, man, would you rather play for me or play for a bunch of guys that are just constantly cheating? And, I mean, Tad will tell you, it's going on. It's happening all the time. So, again, maybe I'm naive with that too. But I just feel like in this day and age, more and more of these teams are going to get found out. We're going to keep buttoning this thing up as we go here. And, you know, and I understand that people are going to – you're going to get more competitive now more than ever because of NIL and stuff like that and transfer portals. But you got – if you can't do it without cheating, then you can't do it. You got to get out. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. And as we're kind of progressing through, like, the big storylines there, obviously, how will Air Force respond after all of the, you know, the sanctions and such, too? How about CU? I mean, it's just so bad for the Buffs. They are, yeah, 17.5-point dogs. And they got, you know... Is McCown going to give them some kind of a spark? I was talking to Mark Johnson about it, the voice of the Buffs, on Wednesday. And he's like me, and I think most people are like this. Pick a quarterback, go with him. If he struggles, if he can't do the job, move on. Get a different quarterback. But let's not do this, hey, you're the guy, but then maybe you're the guy, and then you're the guy kind of, but maybe you're also the guy. Is Owen McCown the guy? Give him the reins, and it sounds like they're going to. And let's see what happens. He was 26 of 42 last week, 258 yards, a touchdown, one interception. His QBR was 32. Again, not lighting the world on fire, but now you're just looking here to try to see if maybe son of Josh McCown can be the spark that you're after, can be the one that you need to get something going here. But I listen, based on everything I've seen so far for the Buffs, Angel, you remember what to do. Anytime I try to act like I'm taking the Buffs to
don't do it.
Cover a spread or, heaven forbid, win a game, you are supposed to shock me, electrocute me somehow. You got to figure that out. Because one of the reasons my record has been so bad is because I took CU, I think, 3 weeks. I can go back to that TCU game. They were in that game. What was it? Was it 6-6 or something? It was a low-scoring game. They were right there. And I go back to the coaching there, and Carl Durrell had these moments where it was like you didn't go for it on 4th and 2 from, like, the 46, but then you did go for it on 4th and 1 from the 39. It was just a bunch of weird things. And again, the quarterback carousel just drives me nuts. And that's why I like here what's happening with CSU is – you got a freshman quarterback, and at the beginning of the season, you said, hey, it's not always going to be pretty, and it hasn't. You know, again, the offensive line has issues, but I like the fact that Jay Norvell just said, that's our guy. We're going to grow with him. We're going to mold him, and he's going to grow with these guys, and they're going to build a chemistry together. For better or worse, we're going to take our lumps together. And again, you do get to a point where what's the threshold there? Is it, oh, man, he threw like 8 picks? Or so, then you start to go, maybe we need to reevaluate. That's fine too. But I'm just a fan. This is why Vic Fangio drove me nuts last year with the Teddy Bones and Drew Locke thing, the flip a coin. No. Pick a guy before your preseason starts. Say that's the guy in charge. He's going to be with the first team offense all the way through until he proves otherwise. So the story, I guess, other than can see you cover a spread, a double digit spread, the story has to be, is Owen McCown the answer? If he is, then who knows? Maybe you can salvage something. Maybe Owen McCown can save Carl Durrell's job. I don't think so, because no matter what happens, let's say they beat Arizona somehow, the rest of the schedule, I think they have 2 games in between, but they're getting ready to take on the Washingtons and the Oregons and all that. It still looks like a very long road ahead for the Colorado Buffaloes. As for the Wyoming Cowboys, I mean, Cody didn't really like my take on this, but I'm telling you, Angel, there's blood in the water in the Mountain West Conference. Clark's sitting next to me. His boy, Jake Haner, I don't think he's playing this weekend. He got hurt, and that was a bummer of a situation going up. Was it the USC game or the Oregon State game? I can't remember. And he gets hurt, and that game changes. That game totally changed. Jake Haner, I think, is a pro if he can stay healthy. But that suddenly now, is it a no-brainer that Fresno State's going to run there? Now, I know that's not the same side for Wyoming, but I'm just saying, you know, as far as the conference being turned upside down, Air Force, Wyoming beat them. Boise State, Hank Bachmeier just transferred out. So you have a Mountain West conference that is certainly upside down. And so for the Cowboys, it's like, can you take advantage of that? Can you seize the moment and start to put together one heck of a conference schedule, because you have San Jose State, and then you're at New Mexico, home against Utah State, at Hawaii, at Colorado State, home against Boise State. Suddenly the Boise State game is not scaring anybody. I'm sorry, but that's just not a scary, that's not a scary thing anymore. And, you know, Hank Bachmeier, that guy, he's been with Boise State forever. Now, I don't think he was as good as he used to be, but that's a big name. That's what I'm saying, though. Before you guys freak out and about CSU and the transfer portal situation, you just had a quarterback that's been with this program forever with the Broncos. But why is he leaving? He's probably leaving because he's not – there's a question as to whether Talen Green should be starting at quarterback over Hank Bachmeier. In fact, the broadcast last week, they brought it up. You know, I kept thinking we were going to see Talen Green. You're starting to see there's a quarterback competition there. And Hank Bachmeier looks at the writing on the wall and goes, I'm not going to be the guy here anymore. So I'm going to save up whatever eligibility I have and go somewhere else where they're in need of a quarterback. Maybe he should go to CU. I mean, come on. No, that's not going to happen. But that the whole point is there's reasons why these guys are transferring. And it seems like most of the time right now, it's because, well, my playing time is probably going to decrease, or I wasn't in for a rebuild. For CSU, these guys weren't in for a rebuild. They didn't think it was going to be as much of a rebuild as it's turning out to be. Stuff happens. Teams that we believe are going to win this many games, it happens every single year, win way less or way win more. We all get it wrong. Coaches can get it wrong, too. And maybe CSU thought they'd be a little further ahead at this point. I still don't think that's cause for this major panic that you're seeing among Rams fans. 12:50 the time. We'll take a short break. When we come back, we'll wrap up hour number two here from Canvas Stadium, and then we'll get to Football Friday, our official Football Friday, starting up in the 1 o'clock hour. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Sunday and Monday Night Football are on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Ali Farouk Manesh, assistant men's basketball coach at Colorado State, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
/12:52 Welcome back to the whole show. Hanging out at Canvas Stadium today as we get geared up for the Canvas Community Classic. Our coverage presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza. We got two high school football games for you that's going to air on KFKA tonight. Pooter and Rocky Mountain and Fort Collins and Fossil Ridge. So we'll be excited to bring both of those games to you. And then Kyle Johnson will be here at 3 o'clock for football night in Northern Colorado, as he'll set the stage for what promises to be a very fun night of football. Eastside Chris texting in on the First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Brady, if God forbid Russell goes down, would you like Bridgewater to be the backup? Bridgewater's a fine backup. I mean, if you're asking me if I can pick the best backup in the NFL.
No, God, please, no. No,
I mean, no. Thank you, Angel. Yeah, I'm done with that game. Give me Brett Rippon. I mean, that's fine. That's fine for me. Throw out some other backups. I mean, you got Pickett right now. I mean, you got rookies right now that are backups. But am I going to freak out about it? I don't. He's a backup. But I mean, honestly, if you're asking me to choose between Brett Rippon and Teddy Bridgewater, like, I'm good. I'm good with what we've got. That's fine. He's a backup quarterback, and he's up there, and we don't really know. We already kind of know what he's about. Brett Rippon, hey, Boise State kid there. No, I'm good with Brett. I would be good with Brett Rippon going forward, so I don't need to mess with the Teddy Bridgewater thing anymore. Method Flow Products poll question of the day. Pretty simple one. Who you got, Broncos or the Raiders, as we get closer and closer to this game? And, man, this is going to be – I think this is going to be a really interesting game.
Broncos like country, let's ride.
Yes. Yes. I think he's going to ride, dude. I think this is going to be the weekend that he gets it going, and everybody's going to shut up for a week or two. I just see it. I saw that last possession, and that was vintage Russell Wilson. And now you got to bottle that up and put that out on a regular basis. And listen, I don't look at Russ and go, man, he doesn't got it. I mean, you remember, Angel, watching Tim Tebow, and he would throw a football, and you'd go, this guy just, wow, he isn't, he can move and stuff, but that is an incredibly bad throw. I haven't looked at anything from Russell Wilson and said, it's gone. With Peyton Manning, his final year with the Broncos, I think we had moments where we went, man, Manning's just kind of, he's kind of limping this one out, man. He's coasting to the finish line here. Hopefully this defense can hold up. I haven't seen Russell Wilson look as bad as Peyton Manning in that final year. I haven't seen anything from Russ that makes me really go, wow, he has no ability to move. He has no ability to throw. Because any question that I did have in my mind about that immediately went away when I saw him do it in crunch time against a good defense in the San Francisco 49ers. I know there are reasons to be worried. You know, there's reasons to be concerned. But I haven't looked at Russ and once said, man, this guy just doesn't have it anymore. And that's where I am at this point. So I would not be shocked at all if this is the weekend that maybe even the Raiders get it a little bit right. But, you know, Denver's defense comes in, keeps them in this game, and you start to see an offense that is beginning to click. And why not this weekend against the Raiders? I bet you Russ is tired of hearing all this crap. You know, everybody's making fun of him, and you got Eli Manning calling him out on their telecast. I mean, he chomped back a little bit on Eli, and I like it. I think it's good. Maybe he starts to use it as fire. Maybe that's what people want to see, is a pissed off Russell Wilson, and he might not show it, you know, externally when he's talking into the media, but maybe he shows it once he actually gets back out on that field against this Raiders team that he's got to manifest some hate for. He doesn't care about this rivalry. He didn't used to, but now he's got to. So does Nathaniel Hackett. And they have, you know, a big test coming up this Sunday. All right, Football Friday coming up at 1 o'clock. We got a lot to talk about. No Rams this weekend, though. Probably a good thing. We're live from Canvas Stadium. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.